a nut case, and I don't want to do that. And he said, turn your car around, you know, Missy, and go tell her to put the book down because I want to tell her I love her. And so I drove around, and this woman thought I was, like, stalking her. I'm, like, driving through the parking lot. She's walking to her car, and I rolled down my window, and I said, listen, I have something that I feel like I'm supposed to tell you. And she goes, if it's from God, I don't want to hear it. And I said, I think that you might want to hear this. And she looked at me, and I said, God told me to tell you, if you'll put your book down, he'd like to tell you how much he loves you. Well, of course, she just started weeping. Weeping, weeping, weeping. Floodgates opened. And then out came the torrent of why she didn't want to hear from God. And it was because she had something happening in her life that she knew wasn't right, that she needed to stop. And she was afraid that God, all God wanted to come down was a hammer, right? God didn't want to come down with a hammer. He wanted to come down with a hug. He wanted to tell her, I'm the source of life. I'm the source of joy. I'm the source of love. And what you think you're getting is saccharine compared to sugar, is fake compared to what's going to really meet your heart's desire. So we prayed right there. And then I got the most beautiful email about a few days later, how her heart was changing and how her eyes had scales had fallen off her eyes. And how she could start to see clearly what was happening. And she was able to have the grace to be able to say no. Ladies, if you find yourself in that situation, it's somehow feeding our flesh. Whatever it is, whatever the temptation is, whatever it is, it's feeding our flesh. And usually, then, that's causing the other half of the lesson, which is the guilt, right? And there's real guilt, and there's false guilt. And what God does is true guilt is actually like a nerve ending. My husband has a cousin who's a quadriplegic. And when he was at St. Albans, he tried out for the wrestling team. He was an all-pro football player. He was, you know, man about town. He was A number one. He'd been recruited for colleges to play football. He tried out for the wrestling team. Broke his neck.
Oh, no.
His life forever changed. He's still alive. He's doing great. But the problems with a broken neck is you have no feeling, right? And the horrible things about having no feeling is that you injure yourself and you don't know it. And that is a true problem with people that have no feeling is he has set himself on fire. He has chopped off his foot. He has done all kinds of things that if you had feeling, nerve endings, you would know that what you're doing is not a good thing, right? But if you have no feelings, then bad things happen afterwards. Pain is a gift from God to tell you something is wrong. All right. True guilt, and I don't want to call it guilt. I want to call it conviction, and there's a difference. True conviction is a gift from God because what he's saying is if you're a train, your train has jumped the track, and now you are, you know, freewheeling across the countryside, and you're supposed to be on a track, right? God is very specific. If he comes in with conviction, it's because he wants to restore you and get you back on track. This is how the enemy deals. The enemy deals in vagueness. He gives you an overall feeling of bleh, right? So if you have gone to confession, and by the way, confession is always the remedy for guilt. Confession. Why? Because Satan deals in secrets. Satan loves secrets. He loves darkness. It's where he hides. And if you can name it, and name it as God calls it what it is, and get it out there, ladies, the grace will come. Confession, however you do it in your particular brand of church, do it, all right? Because it is the remedy. It is the remedy. It is truly the weed killer for sin and the miracle grow for graces, all right? And it does actually do something. It can set you free. It can set you free. So what I'm telling you is Satan will come in if you've already confessed something, and that's the other beautiful thing about confession. When Satan comes in and whispers in your ear, oh, don't you remember? You did that. Therefore, how could you ever even invite this woman to Bible study? Because you are a gossip, or you are a liar, or you are a, you know, whatever, adulterer, or whatever it may be, that Satan's going to come in and try to press you down to make you feel guilty. If you have already confessed that sin, you can look Satan in the face and say, talk to the hand, because the face ain't listening. I confess that sin, and I am forgiven, and I am free, and I now have the grace of God. I'm walking out in grace, right? Okay, but what Satan likes to do is come in and just make you feel overall icky, make you feel guilty. He won't be specific. He'll just put a weight on you like a heavy blanket, right? You know that that is the enemy, because God is in the business of conviction, of healing, and restoration. So he will be very specific with you about your sin, right? So that you can move on. So, all that to say, what I'd like to talk to you about today is the remedy, right? And the other thing that I truly love about confession, the actual act of confession, when you go to a, if you go to a priest, if that is part of your background, first of all, you know, it's not the priest that's forgiving you, it's Christ. He's just being the mouthpiece, right? He's just sitting there as Christ himself, the conduit of it. So don't get that confused. It's not he doesn't think he's doing it. He's doing it as a conduit of Christ. But at the end, the prayer that you pray is really your heartfelt, I'm sorry, God, because I know that what I've done, if we could see sin as what it really is, which is breaking the heart of God, because God wants the best for us. It's like when you see your kids doing something really stupid. Not only do you want to throttle them because it's so aggravating, you know, but you don't. It really is what? Breaking your heart. Because you know that what they're doing is not the best. It's not good for them. It's going to cause problems later. And that's God. It breaks his heart because he knows what we're doing is not good for us. And he has the best for us. And so in this little prayer, it says, you know, I'm sorry, God, that I have broken your heart. I've sinned against you. And I dread that. I dread what that will cause in my life, which is separation from you. But really, I dread it because I'm supposed to love you most of all. And I've done something to interrupt that fellowship. So by your grace, please help me to avoid, I love this, the near occasion of sin. Help me to avoid what it is that's causing me to do this. And that only happens through grace. And it only happens when we turn our eyes from what it is that God is saying, this is not good for you, and we turn our eyes to the thing he wants to give us, which is something better, something greater, which is himself. So today, I'd like to talk to you about how we do that. Because the answer is what? Always
Jesus.
Jesus. The answer is always Jesus. All right. And so I wrote this book about my journey. And then the Lord, I started thinking, well, Lord, what I feel like I'm really supposed to write is a book about how people should connect with you. Because what I have found in my life is that I really have grown in the Lord as I have grown in my prayer life. And so you'll see that I have this. So I did a retreat in the spring, and it was called Something Greater, Metamorphosis of a Soul. And you see the book, it has a butterfly on it. And I have butterflies all over my house. And I didn't think that I was obsessed with butterflies, but I have a daughter, Daisy. So I have a 23, 21, 19, and those of you who don't know, then a caboose, 9, Daisy. And so Daisy was in the backyard with her little friend, and this beautiful butterfly came through the yard. And her friend goes, oh, a beautiful butterfly, you know. And Daisy goes, you cannot tell me anything I do not already know about butterflies. And then this was the real kicker. Then she said, my mother is a butterfly psychiatrist. So if you have butterflies in need of therapy, I am your woman, I guess. Anyway. Sorry, I didn't realize that she had been so super saturated with the butterfly thing, but obviously, so I was praying to God. I said, Lord, give me a really good example and of what seeking you first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Remember, that's what we sang this song. That's the scripture. What does Christ say? He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about things. There's really, you know, really, we just need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to us besides. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Love that. By the way, that's Matthew 6, 33 and 34. So, seek first and all these things. Well, it's the essential things. What are all these things that will be added? It's essential things, the things that God knows that we need. They will be given to us. And ladies, that's even the ability to resist temptation.
Good.
Even the ability to resist temptation. Okay? Seek first. Because God knows what you need. And if that's a need, he's going to provide for it. Any of you ever kept awake at night by worry or guilt or thinking about things? Well, our darling Betsy, hope she doesn't mind me saying this. She might have already told you this, but it was so good and I just have clung to it. She said she was worrying about something. I hope I can tell that story. And the Lord said to her, Betsy, do you believe I'm all powerful? Did you already tell them this?
No.
Okay, all right.
I think so.
And she said, yes, Lord, I believe you're all powerful. And he said, well, do you believe I'm merciful? And she said, yes, Lord, I believe you're merciful. And he said, well, then you can go back to sleep. Because if we believe that God is all merciful and all powerful, we're covered, right? We're covered. So we can relax and enjoy the ride. So, but what are we being held back from in our life? By anxiety, worry, temptations? What parameters, what things, what limitations are they putting on our life? And then we can look at another wonderful scripture in the Gospels, Luke 10, 41 and 42. And he's speaking to the most, I think, famously and bothered person in the Bible, which is his friend, Martha, Martha. You are anxious and worried about many things. There's need of only one thing. There's need of only one thing. And Mary has chosen the better part, right? So what is the better part? Well, the better part was seeking God first by sitting at the feet of Jesus. She was seeking the kingdom first, right? So, seeking God's kingdom first by sitting at the feet of Jesus. All right, so I was asking God, if I were to do this, what would be the benefits of it? You say to do it. What's the benefits of it? How do I do it? You know, and give me some great examples. So, I started reading the Doctors of the Church. Now, I don't know if you guys ever read the saints, but St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Teresa of Lisieux, all these great Carmelites, they are awesome. And they knew the secrets, I feel like. They just knew the secrets of how to get to the heart of God. And guess what they all say? I said, Lord, show me a picture. And, of course, he gave me the picture of the butterfly. And I was like, really? Again, a butterfly? Okay, all right. So let's just talk about them for a second, because it really was mind-boggling. I'd always liked them, but I'd never really studied them, like, biologically. And it is fascinating, absolutely fascinating. Okay, so first of all, they are genetically identical. A caterpillar and a butterfly, genetically identical. They have the exact same DNA. Just at different times in their life, different parts are flashed on and off, depending on what is needed at the time. Every single caterpillar had butterflies for parents. Every single one. Therefore, every single caterpillar is hatched with the intention of becoming a butterfly. They are never intended just to stay a caterpillar. All right. A caterpillar usually only goes a distance of about 40 feet from the host plant where it was deposited. All right. Compare that to a mature migrating monarch butterfly that can fly hundreds of miles, and even more amazing, and you'll have to Google it, the fourth generation monarch that can fly up to an altitude of 11,000 feet. That's over 2 miles. That's high as an eagle, all right? And travel a distance of over 2,000 miles. That's from Canada all the way down to Mexico. The caterpillar really only has one job, and it's to eat, 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 eat. And what it eats makes a difference. If it takes in enough, then it will have enough energy to be able to go through this metamorphic process and then to be able to become the mature butterfly that it was meant to be and able to reproduce, all right? If it does not eat properly, it will not flourish. Okay, so we see that caterpillar is supposed to become a butterfly. How it does it is by eating properly, and to prepare for its spectacular journey, it has to eat, you know, just the right things. We see that a butterfly can go much further and higher than a caterpillar could ever dream of going, and that a caterpillar and a butterfly are made of the exact same DNA. But what happens to a caterpillar to turn it into its mature self, what it is intended to be, its maximum potential, right? What it's meant to be. How does it happen? Well, a caterpillar goes through several stages, and each time it goes through a stage, they're called an instar. And you can look it up. I'm writing the book. You can read the book. But it's fascinating what happens in each instar. So the caterpillar sheds its skin, and it becomes bigger and better, right? And the final stage, final instar of a caterpillar, its outer skin is what becomes its chrysalis. For a moth, it spins a cocoon, but each one is encapsulated in a casing that's a protective casing for something to take place inside, right? Well, what takes place inside is absolutely remarkable. The caterpillar will completely dissolve. It becomes a protein soup of sorts. Mm-hmm. It's not that the caterpillar sprouts wings, you know, it's that it dissolves, absolutely dissolves. In order for the butterfly that it was meant to be made out of what was formerly the caterpillar. And it's fascinating. Well, what can we draw from this? Well, would you rather remain a caterpillar your whole life or become a butterfly? Do you want to be earthbound or do you want to soar? Do you want to be what you were intended to become, what you were made to become? The secret is in cocooning. When Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," and that only one thing is needed, he is, of course, talking about himself. He is the kingdom of God that came to earth, and he is the thing that we are to seek first. He is the one thing needed. A caterpillar will never become what it was intended to become if it does not die to self in order to be remade into the image of the Father. How do we do this? How do we cocoon? How do we die to self? Well, these great saints I was telling you about say it all happens in prayer, meditation, and the study of God's word. Prayer, meditation, and the study of God's word, all right? We must make time each and every single day to die to our own schedules, our own agendas, our own ways, our own patterns of thinking, to become still, to take this time. And you know what? The amazing thing is, just like a house plant, you can water it, you can set it in the window, you can love on it, but only God can cause it to grow, right? Well, it's the same with our spiritual growth. We can till our soil. The book of Hosea says it's time to break up your fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord, right? Our responsibility is to till our soil. How we do that is by putting ourselves in a position where God can come in and cause the spiritual growth. Ladies, if we do not take time to do that, we will forever be caterpillars. We will never become all I believe that God intends for us to become. The Gospel of John 12:24 says this, "Amen, amen," and when Jesus says it twice, listen with both ears, "I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit." Ladies, God is more for you than you are. He loves you more than you love yourself. He is more pro whatever your name is than you are, and he knows what's best for you. He longs for you to soar. He longs for you to be mature. He longs for you to bear much fruit. And what is that fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Isn't that what we all long for in our life? It is. It's all what we long for. And don't we want it for everybody else? Wouldn't the world be perfect if everybody was just exuding fruit salad? You know, I mean, just think about it. How fabulous would that be? You could all feed off each other's fruit. It would be amazing. But that fruit is only found perfectly in Jesus Christ. We look for it in the pharmaceutical industry. We look for it in the bottle. We look for it in every way. But that is only found perfectly in and through the person of Jesus Christ. So how do we cocoon in order to be transformed? Well, we must make time with God a priority. It cannot be something we do with our leftover time, because you will never have leftover time. Have you noticed that the day expands like a sponge mm-hmm. to take up every last little drop of anything that you have? We must seek first His kingdom. We must schedule in time for God if we want to be free from the things that keep us earthbound, and if we want to learn to soar. I promise, according to the scriptures, we will never soar if we don't learn to seek first. We will never be if we have to seek first. And in this time of seeking first, this cocooning, there are really three great things you can ask. How I like to do it is I like to take the Word of God. Diana's books are fabulous because they're absolute chock full of scripture. And pray, God, what are you showing to me? I know Betsy said the first week, something, you know, it's so easy to blaze past just the giant chunks of reading that we have. Like this week, it was all of chapter 3 and half of chapter 4. Don't blaze through it. Ask God, Lord, what do you want to tell me in this? And maybe that's what you want to journal on. Do it as part of your Bible study. You know, get through the book of Matthew. It's so beautiful. I mean, Luke. Sorry, I keep thinking we're doing Matthew. Luke. Dr. Luke. And ask God. So ask Him then, as you're doing that, say, okay, now, Lord, what is my mission based on all this? What is my mission for today? What is it that you're calling me to do? What have you got in store for me in this? And ladies, it may be God saying, I want you to be the best wife, the best mother, the best caregiver, the best prayer, the best friend, whatever it is, whatever your vocation is in life. He may be saying, pour into that, pour into that. Or He may be saying, I need for you to trust me more today in a certain situation. Or I need for you to love me more today, and this is killer, by loving this person I'm going to put in your path. All right. But I suggest you do it first thing in the morning. Or as soon as you get your kids out of school, or as soon as you get your, you know,
coffee,
yes, thank you, whatever it may be. But don't let the day get away from you, because I can assure you that the world will conspire against you to cocoon. Now, I don't know if any of you like the Beastie Boys or have kids that like the Beastie Boys. They're a crazy singing group. But they have a song called You Have to Fight for Your Right to Party, all right? You're going to have to fight for your right to cocoon. All right, you're just going to have to fight for it. It's like sometimes you have to fight for your right to go to the gym, right? Or fight for your right to do whatever it is that you feel like you have to do. You're going to have to make this a priority, and you're going to have to fight for it. Because, like I said, it ain't going to come easy, all right? So put it on your schedule. What is my mission? He'll tell you what that mission is for the day. Now, when you figure out that that mission is impossible, ready? That you can only do it by God's grace, you're going to really long for this cocooning time. Because did you know He will never give you a mission that He will not equip you and enable you to do? But He never asks us to do it on our own. I could write the next book, be My Utter Failures in the Flesh, from trying to do my mission all by my little stinking self. And what I figured out is the flesh, she stinketh and she is very weak, right? They're not all utter failures, but I can probably, you know, get a grape or a prune or a something out every now and again. But what God wants is abundant fruit. And it's like our loaves and fishes, right? We hand Him our stuff, and what does He do? He multiplies by the power of His Holy Spirit. But that happens in the cocooning. That happens when we pray. That happens when we get ourselves in with God. So He's going to equip us. Then the second question that we want to ask ourselves is, okay, so what's essential in this mission? What's essential? What are my priorities for this day? In this time of cocooning, God will open His Word to you, and hopefully it'll be through this study, or maybe you have another way. Maybe you have another way that you like to read the Word of God. Maybe you're reading through the Bible, you know, in a year, or I like to read the daily church mass readings. That's how I get it. I have a book called The Magnificat, and there's apps. You can get any app you want to help you do this, right? There's all kinds of great ones. So whatever it is, sit in that time, read His Word, because that's our hungry caterpillar. That's our feeding, right? That's the eat, right? And then as we do that, it's us plus His Word plus His Holy Spirit that's going to sort of break us down into the protein soup to remold us and make us to be able to soar, to be able to do the thing that He's asking us to do. Now, as you sit in that time, I like to do this prayer. I like to do palms down, palms up, and it's a Quaker way of praying. But in the palms down time is when I just talk to God, and I give him sort of my laundry list of, you know, all the prayer requests, everything that's on my mind, everything that's on my heart, everything that I've just read, and I'm asking him to speak to me through and saying, God, tell me, show me. And then I turn my palms up, and that's when I'm quiet. And I just sit, and I picture the beautiful light of God coming in and just pouring over me, filling me literally from the tip of my toes to the tip of my head. And I sit quiet, and I gaze at him, and he gazes at me, and we fall in love. Ask God to capture your heart. Because if you memorized the entire Bible and it stayed up here in your head, you would never be transformed. It has to come in, sink down about 12 inches, and then start taking root in your heart. Ladies, God will take things that were have-tos and turn them into get-tos. That's what transformation is. It's seeing things that with new eyes. It's him giving you new wings to soar. The amazing thing is in that time of falling in love with him, him gazing at you, you ask him now, give him permission to show you what's non-essential. And that could be the things that are causing this guilt and temptation. It could be the things that are keeping you earthbound, that are keeping you from soaring. Have you ever seen a butterfly with a suitcase? No. All right, because we ain't meant to have them, right? It might not be that severe. It might just be stuff that you've gotten yourself. You've said yes, 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 yes. Because the yeses, in some way, feed our flesh. Right?
Yep.
You all have our little pet sin of either vanity, pride, or sensuality, or perhaps we have the trifecta. Right? And in them, saying yes to that thing and that person liking us because we said yes is feeding our flesh.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, it's going to overload you. You're going to be a butterfly with a suitcase. And then what's going to happen is you're going to feel you don't have time for the essentials, the first thing that God asks you to do. And that's when we get stressed out and we crash and burn. So ask God in this time, what's my mission? What's essential and what's non-essential? And I have a spiritual director who says, if it's not leading you closer to God in some way and it's not bringing you peace, put the axe to the root, right? It's time to cut it out. Now, and I hate to go there, but there may be something feeding your flesh that you know is not right, that you're involved in some way. In this time of gazing is when you say, God, I can't do this on my own. I know that you're asking me. It's like the woman with the book. She didn't want to hear God say this. Ladies, he's telling you, I love you. I love you. I am more for you than you are. Look to me to meet your needs. Look to me. You know, this is so beautiful. Did you know the first time the word joy is mentioned in the Bible? Do you know what it is? First time is when Elizabeth says it, when Jesus comes present in Mary's womb.
Hmm.
And what Pope Francis said in New York, he said, where joy is present, Jesus is there. Where joy is present, Jesus is there. Ladies, Christ is going to be present. He's going to bring you that joy, the thing that you think that this other thing could possibly bring you. In the end result will be death. What God always brings us is he gives us paths of light and life. And guess what? They open up to bigger paths of light and life. Satan gives us a big path at the beginning and it narrows down to death. Christ's way, he says, it's narrow. It's small. It starts out little. But in the end, it opens up to more and more and more life. It's just, it's contrary to what we think, you know, in this world. So ask God during this time, say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I need you to equip me to be able to say no, to be able to cut this off. Give me a new heart. Transform my heart. You know, it says several times in the Old Testament, I think it's three different times, he says, he will take away your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. You may have grown stony towards your husband. Your heart may be stony. Say, Lord, take away my heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh. Give me new eyes to see my husband in a different way or this situation in a different way. Whatever it is, he is in the business of transformation, and transformation takes place when we cocoon. Now, the other beautiful part about cocooning is this. It's when God gets to give us a big hug and show us what we're doing right. It's not always about changing us to make, you know, to say, do this, do this, do this. Sometimes, if we don't take time to really sit and reflect, we never get to see when we're doing it right. Mm-hmm. You know, and did you know God, you know, he allows us to be tested sometimes so we can pass them. Isn't that awesome mm-hmm. to think? Because sometimes you'll have the same test again and again, and before you failed, and the next time you passed. And that is an awesome thing to know that you've been transformed. And it's not for your glory. It's for God's glory. All of this is for God's glory. And all of this is so he can say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Look, look, you've got new wings. You're soaring. You're doing fabulous. And there's not a better feeling of deep-seated soul satisfaction when you know that it wasn't you, it was God, and he's transforming you to look like him. Mm-hmm. And that woman that you wanted to, like, punch in the face last year, you know, because she was so annoying and hateful, now you can say, oh, my gosh, God bless her. Mm-hmm. God bless her. I feel sorry for her. God will change your heart towards people and circumstances and things. All right, so we must take time. We must take time to die to self. And, you know, it's not a one-time deal. You can't just check it off and go, okay, did that. I wake up every day a caterpillar, I will tell you, because there is so much inside of me that needs to be transformed. There's still so many areas in my life that God is saying, I got something better. You know, if you'll let go of that, I got something better. And I just have to be willing to say, okay, God, take me. Make me into your image. Transform me by your word and by prayer and by time with you. Because, ladies, I promise you, it's like counterfeit money. Did you know the people that can spot counterfeit money? It's not because they study counterfeit money. It's because they study the real thing. They can spot counterfeit because they are so in tune with what the real thing looks, feels like. You know, they know it backwards and forwards and upside down. Lady, if you want to be able to spot the counterfeit in your life, get and fall in love with the real thing. Concentrate on Jesus. He is always the answer, and he will take you to new and better places. And something that's amazing is when you're down in the valley, we were just recently in Colorado, we saw all these beautiful mountains around us, but we could only see the beautiful mountains that were right around us. When we were actually able, by God's grace, to climb the mountain, with each step, we saw something greater. We got to see what was beyond just our little set of mountains, but there was unbelievable more and more and more beauty, more mountains that we couldn't see in the valley. That's what grace does. Grace enables you to take the first step. And after you take the first step, did you know your emotions follow your actions? Sometimes you just got to take the first step even though you don't feel like it. Whatever it may be, you just do it, all right, by God's grace. When you do that, he's going to open up more and more and more beauty and more grace. So don't be afraid to take the first step, because as you do, greater and greater and greater things will be opened, all right? So don't settle for less. Don't settle to be earthbound. Reach for God. Reach your maximum and full potential. Become a beautiful butterfly. Isaiah 40:31 states this, and I think just for today, we're going to be okay to change just one word, and you'll see what it is, but just for today. They that hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And many verses say, they that, what, wait on the Lord. That time of cocooning is when we wait on the Lord. We wait on the Lord, right? We hope in him. They will soar on, instead of eagle's wings, let's say butterfly wings, all right? They will soar on butterfly's wings, because we know that they can go as high as an eagle. They will run and not grow weary. Ladies, if you want to run the race and not be entangled, meet with God. Allow his word to come in and transform. It's us, his word, the Holy Spirit, that comes in and changes us. It's a mystery. Even scientists today do not understand why or how the whole caterpillar butterfly thing takes place.
Mm.
It's still a mystery. I mean, they're getting at it. They know that there's different things that happen. But why would a perfectly good caterpillar plunge into a cocoon of death, you know, in order to be something else? And it's because the caterpillar must know. It must have had a butterfly's heart all along.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It must long to become what it was intended to become, what its father and mother were. It longs to become that mature stage. Ladies, have God change your heart. If Satan has lied to you and said, caterpillar is what you are and caterpillar is what you will be, I'm here to tell you today, that is a lie. It is a lie. You are meant to soar. You are meant to soar. All right? So they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not grow faint. So let's go. Let's ask the Lord to bring His Holy Spirit down, to give us a desire to want to meet with Him, to love Him more, to desire His Word, to desire what He desires, to change our hearts, to give us new hearts of flesh, and by His grace be transformed to go to new and higher and better ways with Him. Will you pray with me? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, sorry, I just got to something. We're supposed to do this prayer. All right. There's some people in here that need to forgive themselves. Okay. God wants you to know that He has forgiven you, and you have no right to hold unforgiveness against yourself, even. And what the Son has made free is free indeed. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And this is the truth. God loves you. And He has come to give you a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, whatever chance it is. He's come to set you free. So what I'd like for you to do at this time, if you wouldn't mind, everyone close your eyes, but make a little cup. And I want you to put in that cup silently. Anything that anything that you need to give to God. Perhaps you're holding an unforgiveness against another person. Put it in that little cup. Go ahead and name it. Not out loud, just name it. All right, so now we're going to brush our hands and say, Lord, we give this to You because bearing this and holding on to this is more than our humanity can bear. And we ask that the blood of the Lamb, the blood and water that was, Your side was pierced on the cross to wash us. We say, behold the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. Lord, have mercy on us. Wash over us, we pray. Cleanse us. Set us free. Okay, now make that little cup again. And I want you to put everything in there that you long for yourself. And perhaps for if you're holding an unforgiveness, that you would long for the person, the good things that you'd like to see come. Right now, we're going to even release the good things to God because we can't fix ourselves, we can't fix other people. But we ask, Lord, now Jesus Christ, now brush your hands and just say, Lord, we release even our own selves to You to fix. We release this whole situation to You. We release other people to You. We give it to You because it's in more capable hands than our own. We ask, Lord, that Your mercy would rain down on us, Your grace, Your love, that we could truly be set free. We thank You, Lord, that You are always in the business of making things new, that we can never come to the end of Your newness. And so, Lord, take us now. Give us wings to soar. We We ask all of this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.